But if they sit outside for a while, it can kind of attract some attention to us.
If we were closer to the hut, we could have cut some flesh off the giant mutie. That would have sidetracked them.
JB's suggestion was a good one, but the loping wolves could be on top of them within 15 minutes. Ryan looked at the narrow stream, at that point less than a dozen feet in width.
Come on.
He waded in, gasping at the coldness as it soaked instantly through his breeches. It was nearly waist deep on him, and came up over the belt of J.B. Dix, who took off his fur coat and removed the blaster before stepping into the fast-flowing stream. Christy Roth came last.
Kaya, all I need. Perfect end to a fruitful, perfect day. Oh, God.
Tomorrow we do it again, with Rick to field the questions. Crazy to think about doing it this way.
Long as the Freezy doesn't die on us.
Ryan stepped cautiously over a submerged branch. The old trick worked. Without it, they could have found themselves fighting the wolves off from the very steps of the American country dacha. They heard the cry of the hunting pack drawing closer, the animals running at an easy pace, devouring the miles on their wide padded paws. Just as Ryan and the other two reached the grounds of the mansion, they heard the sound of the wolves change suddenly. It was apparent that the wolves were scouring the swift stream for some sign of where their prey had gone. Christy smiled at Ryan in the moonlight and squeezed his arm.
Nice one, Mother.
Hope they're gone by the time we set out again tomorrow.
The others were surprised to see them back the same evening. Rick had already gone to bed. Doc was sitting near him, tending the small fire in the open hearth. Jack was on watch, patrolling the second floor of the rambling building. He spotted Ryan and the others as soon as they broke cover, and ran down to the main doors to greet them.
Freezy's sick.
Bad?
Fucking tired.
You see anyone, Jack?
No. Heard wolves, though. After you?
Yeah, we sidetracked them. Is Doc okay?
Sure. Happy. Forget about Laurie.
Maybe not forgotten, Jack. Just put away into one of those back rooms in our mind where we store things we don't care to think on too much.
Jack considered that.
Could be. Yeah. Could be right.
Christy smiled. It was as near as she got to praise from the teenager. They didn't bother to wake Rick to tell him he was traveling the next morning. Time enough for that.
No way, Ryan!
There's no choice, Rick.
Go piss up a rope, you monocular son of a bitch!
Fine, but you still have to come with us. There's no...
I'm sick, you ice-hearted bastard! Oh, Christ on a cross! I got this shitty illness and I'm dying and I get fucking frozen. Supposed to be woken up when it's time for the doctors to cure me, and you did it too early!
Rick, it wasn't too early. You know that. The world you knew got blown to hell on January 20th, 2001. There won't be a cure. There won't ever be doctors like you knew, hospitals, nothing like that. Just the Deathlands. Forever and ever.
So why go on? Why fucking bother, Christy? Let's just give up now, right now!
Rick was leaning on his stick, tears streaming down his thin cheeks. Ryan realized how frail and ill he'd become in the past 2 or 3 days. Christy laid her hands on his shoulders, trying to steady him.
Why? Why don't we all just sit down and give up?
Yeah.
He wiped his eyes with a clumsy hand.
Yeah, why go on?
Outside, the sun shone with a hard, facile brilliance from a faultlessly blue sky. The snow had virtually disappeared, and there had been no sign of the wolf pack. Christie's emerald bright eyes fixed the man with a cold, inexorable stare. Rick actually took a stumbling step away from her.
I can't mend that damaged door. Ryan can't, nor can JB or Jack or Doc. If it doesn't get fixed, we stay here, Rick. We stay here and we all get chilled. Sure, we can hold out for a few days, but in the end, though we're good, they'll track us down and chill us. You sit down on your ass and give up, and you chill us. Just as surely as if your finger tightens on the trigger of the Kalashnikov.
The sun-splash room was very quiet. The others were all standing, listening to the argument. No one interrupted. Rick nodded slowly.
Okay. I see that. And I guess I'll do what I can. But after that... Why do you keep trying, Christy?
She smiled then, and kissed him gently on the cheek.
Tell you the truth, Rick. I sometimes wonder about that myself.
Something had awakened Zimyanyan from a deep sleep. He eased himself away from the hoggish bulk of his wife, wondering if it was the newborn twin baby boys in the apartment immediately above who disturbed his sleep. They bawled endlessly. But it wasn't that. It was something in his sleep.
The bed was exceedingly comfortable. Thank you for asking.
Anya Zimyanyan rolled onto her back. Disgusted, Zimyanyan swung his legs out of the bed, wincing as his feet made contact with the cold plast floor. There was some of the week's ration of chai left. If the power was high enough, he could boil a pot of water and make himself a cup of tea. The idea appealed to Zimyanyan, but he still couldn't quite remember what it was that had woken him in the first place. The cramped kitchen seemed smaller than usual. Dirty dishes and cutlery remained piled on the counter by the sink. It hadn't been a bad meal. Anya had bought some smoked sprats for the appetizer, serving them with buckwheat pancakes. Zimyanya knew the old conventions about meals and made sure they were observed whenever possible. He insisted that Anya prepare pierre obluda and vitarowe obluda, fish for the first main dish, then meat for the second main dish. Minced pike was followed by some indeterminate meat that his wife had sworn was mutton. Unless they were putting horseshoes on sheep, he'd permitted himself to disagree with her. Out east, he'd eaten enough horse meat to be sure. A young recruit had once asked him why he hadn't called his horse by any name. He'd replied that he wouldn't give a name to something he'd probably end up having to eat. For dessert, they had consumed a store-bought cake, sticky with honey and raisins. Anya had gotten up from the table and kissed him drunkenly, her mouth oozing sweetness. Someone had given her a bottle of heavy Moldavian red wine, and it had gone to her head. Zimyanyan slept naked, and he looked down at his body with a shudder of revulsion. The mute evidence of their loveless coupling was matted in the wiry nest of dark curling hairs that covered his groin. While the kettle simmered, he walked quietly through to the tiny bathroom and washed himself. The overhead light was flickering and dim. Power often fell away during the night. He glanced at his face in the mirror, seeing how the erratic shadows gave the illusion that his mouth and nose had merged into a single dark cavern. That brought back the dream that had jerked him from sleep. Aliyev had been in it. He and Zimyanyan had been walking through the grim wastes of the Kamchatka Peninsula, hunting the Narodnaya King, following their trail of bestial violence and murder. The weather had been appalling. A chem storm had howled in from the distant purple mountains, driving acid rain across the barren land. Rad high enough to strip a man's flesh from its bones if he couldn't find cover fast enough. The sky seemed full of trails from old chunks of nuke waste as missiles burned down through the atmosphere. They passed three men on horseback, all of them so wrapped in heavy furs that their faces were obscured. Zimyanyan had shouted to them to beware of the lethal weather, but they'd taken no notice. They'd ridden slowly on into the eye of the storm, as though they were deaf. Aliyev had snuffled and grunted at his side, pointing toward a ruined building that seemed to stand on the edge of